This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It was the venerable Judge Damon Keith who once said, "Democracies die behind closed doors." That warning from the senior judge for the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals was certainly borne out by the cesspool of corruption that surrounded Kwame Kilpatrick. As federal judge Nancy Edmonds sentenced Kilpatrick to 28 years in prison in what became an historic case of corruption, she decried the lack of transparency and accountability that surrounded Kilpatrick. Here's just one of her quotes. "So much of the city business was done behind closed doors with no one really looking into it until the press got a hold of this a few years ago and began to open the door to what was transpiring in City Hall. The voters of Detroit handed their trust to Kwame Kilpatrick, and as a jury found, he turned that trust into a vehicle to feed his greed and to use the office of Detroit's mayor as his personal piggy bank. Well, now that chapter is over, and Detroiters are preparing to elect a new mayor. So what better time for the first ever Leadership Summit on Good Governance for Detroit? It's happening at Wayne State University's Law School, October 21st. And joining me here in the studio is the summit convener. We all saw her speaking after the Kilpatrick sentencing, the U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Michigan, Barbara McQuaid. Very good to have you with us. Well, the title of the summit meeting, I think, is very telling. Building an Honest and Open Government, Why Public Integrity Matters. And Barbara, after the revelations during the Kilpatrick trial, if there was ever a time that people needed to focus on what honest and open government means, this has to be it.
Right. And, you know, a lot of people have talked about the sentence and looking back on what happened during the Kilpatrick administration. But I really want to look forward. What can we learn from this case, and how can we apply it to improving our city? And I also want to credit, I'm not the only convener, the Michigan Chronicle, Wayne State University Law School, and the Federal Bar Association are all joining efforts to put this event together.
So who are some of the speakers you're going to be bringing in?
Well, we start in the morning with a panel of journalists called the Gatekeepers. Paul Anger from the Free Press. We've got someone coming from Channel 7, from WWJ Radio. The idea is to get some people together to talk about what's the role of the press as the watchdog in good government, and at what point do you go public with a story? They get tips all the time from political opponents mm-hmm. and disgruntled business owners about information that may or may not be true. At what point, you know, how much work do you need to do before you go public with information that could ruin someone's political career? So that's an interesting conversation.
Very interesting. And who else will be there speaking?
So the next panel is the investigators. So we have the lead prosecutor from the Kilpatrick case. We have the new inspector general for the city of Detroit. One of the great things Mayor Bing has done, in addition to restoring integrity to city government, is appoint the first ever inspector general for the city of Detroit to look internally into fraud, waste, and abuse. So he's part of that panel, an FBI agent and a defense attorney on that panel to talk about how one goes about investigating these kinds of cases.
You're also bringing in Dan Gilbert.
Yes, you know, part of the day, at the end of the day, is the way forward. What's the vision for the future of the city of Detroit? The business component is important, and we also have labor leaders. Carla Swift from the AFL-CIO will be there. You know, business and labor and academia. What's the way forward? What's the vision for the future? What do we need in Detroit to have accountability and transparency so that business can thrive in the city?
Because that, you know, we talked a lot about the dollars and cents. We heard a lot during the Kilpatrick trial about the dollars and cents and the greed. But there is so much that was lost, was there not, in terms of business opportunities that went away? And also citizens losing trust in who they elected, because they looked to this man as a very promising, shining star.
Well, those are both important components in this case mm-hmm. and in the lessons to be learned, I think. First, mm-hmm. with respect to businesses, many of the contractors who did business with the Kilpatrick administration learned the hard way that if you wouldn't go along and pay his friends and family members as unnecessary consultants, you know, to the tune of millions of dollars, $73 million to one associate alone in extorted contracts, you didn't get the work. And so there were contractors who lost bids and then agreed reluctantly to play along, or good business, honest business, who said, "I'm just not going to play ball in Detroit. You know what? There's plenty of business in Toledo and Cleveland and Chicago. I'm going to stay on the sidelines." So we don't want that. We want to attract business to our community. And then the other point you raise, which is community members. Mm-hmm. We have Bertram Marks, who is the general counsel for the Council of Baptist Pastors, coming to the forum as well to talk about the impact on the community. Because, you know, as Judge Edmonds talked about in imposing the sentence on Kilpatrick, one of the real challenges and problems problems when you have corrupt government is that it erodes trust that the public should have in its government. And that breeds cynicism and apathy so that good people don't want anything to do with government.
Because what's the point?
And how do you expect people to obey laws and pay taxes if they see that the leadership themselves aren't playing by the rules?
I'm speaking with Barbara McQuaid, who is the U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Michigan and one of the conveners of a very, very interesting summit that's coming up, the first ever Leadership Summit on Good Governance for Detroit that's happening at Wayne State University's Law School coming up on October 21st. I'm interested, especially as you were so involved with dissecting what was going on in the Kilpatrick administration. What does good governance mean to you?
Well, at first, it certainly means acting on behalf of the citizens and not yourself, not stealing money that's intended for youth and seniors and neighborhoods, as we saw happen in the Kilpatrick case. That's the most basic component, I think. But even beyond that, I think building healthy structures in government helps to make sure that that integrity is there by having transparency and accountability. So people need to see what's going on. One of the defenses in the case is that many of the things that Mayor Kilpatrick was receiving, flights and tickets to prize fights, was just gifts, Rolex watches and $10,000 shoes. These are just gifts that people gave to me. Well, let's disclose those gifts because then people know what's going on. Or even better yet, let's put some rules on what gifts you may or may not accept. So when you have that kind of structure in place, it's certainly part of the conversation of what structure should Detroit have to ensure that we get the integrity that the citizens deserve.
When I think of the process of the political campaign of voters listening to messages, making their decision about candidates, and then you think of candidates who broke that trust, from Kwame Kilpatrick to Illinois Governor Blagojevich, Mark Sanford from South Carolina, Richard Nixon with Watergate, these were all people that said the right things, earned that trust, and then perverted it. Is there any way for a voter to sniff out a scoundrel before going into that, into cast that vote and putting them in office in the first place?
Well, I don't know. I certainly didn't sniff out Kwame Kilpatrick. I, too, thought he was a very dynamic, talented candidate, and I think he was. Mm-hmm. And it is just a shame to see someone use all of those gifts, not to serve the people, but to serve himself.
I know we heard during the trial and during the sentencing that the judge said, you know, corruption no more, that we're done with that, that way of business is over. Is it can citizens feel that that cancer of public corruption has been carved out at Detroit City Hall?
Yeah, I hope so. And you know, as I said, I view sentencing not so much as about punishing people for their past misdeeds, but about shaping our future. One of the important components of sentencing is in the sentencing statute itself. It talks about specific and general deterrence. Now, specific deterrence is for that defendant himself. But general deterrence is one of the goals of sentencing, and that's about deterring other people from committing similar kinds of crimes. So I'm hopeful that when people who are out there either holding or seeking public office see that these kinds of crimes can land you in prison for 28 years, they realize this isn't a speeding ticket. This isn't a slap on the wrist. This is a very, very serious matter with very stiff consequences. I think that sends a powerful message to people who would either be inclined to do misdeeds or to attract people who want to do good work.
Who's welcome to come to this summit? Who do you hope to see sitting in the seats that day on the 21st?
Well, all members of the public. I'd love to see people who live in Detroit and voters in Detroit. I'd love to see people who do business in Detroit or would like to do business in Detroit. One of the great lessons, I think, of the Kilpatrick case is that, there is a whole spectrum of contractors who were involved. You know, sometimes people say, well, doesn't it take two to play? If it's a pay-to-play culture, the business contractors are involved as well, are they not? And I think it's an opportunity for business people to hear that important message. They are both co-defendant, I suppose, and victim in such a case. And I think one of the lessons is those that came forward and shared information and were whistleblowers became witnesses in the case, and those who paid and played along became defendants in the case. You know, there were 15 or 16 business associates who were charged with crimes and convicted for their role in paying the bribes. And so we hope that sharing that message will encourage people that if they are ever shaken down in the future, their message is don't play along and be a defendant, but come forward because there are consequences for the politician, and there are also consequences for the business owner.
What do you think, now that that chapter of the Kilpatrick era has been closed, what most needs healing in the city of Detroit, do you think?
Well, you know, the people who trusted Kwame Kilpatrick, you know, he was a young man from Detroit. He was a great example of, if someone goes to school, stays out of trouble, works hard, he can be successful. And so I think for all the people who feel betrayed by that, there is some healing that needs to go forward. But, you know, Stephen Henderson wrote a wonderful piece the other day about all the very talented young people in city government right now, you know, people in their 30s and 40s who are up-and-comers. Let's give those people a chance. You know, let's see what they can do. There's plenty of talented people out there, and with the right support, they can be successful and help our city thrive.
The Leadership Summit is October 21st. It's at the Wayne State University Law School, and you can actually contact the Wayne State Law School's Community Relations Department to register. We've put that contact information up on the stateside link at michiganradio.org. Barbara McQuaid, it has been wonderful to have you in the studio. Thanks so much.
Thank you.